They say, whoever they are, don't you love that, they? They say that the best fiction imitates reality, such that we can really relate to the story because it's so real to our lives. The game of poker is so addictive because simply watching the game, one can relate to so many emotions, so many possibilities of winning, and so many realities of losing. How many know what I'm saying? But to actually play the game is to move beyond the fiction of what could happen. It's to move to the reality of actually winning or losing. How many know what I'm talking about? No poker players in the room. You are such good Christians. Well, philosophically, I hope you comprehend what I'm talking about. You see, in poker, when you place a bet, you're putting your hard-earned money on the line, right? You're calculating best as you can what the odds are. But once the bet is placed, the reality will soon be revealed. We are, all of us, living this way to some extent, whether you play poker or not. We hear the words of Jesus, for example, and then we consider the odds of obeying him, of following him, right then, right at that moment, as Irene shared on January 2nd here. All right, I know what you're thinking. Your minds love to argue with the preacher when he presents a thing like this, and you're saying, I don't wake up every morning considering the odds of following God. But you do all day long, especially as you get into the Word more and more and understand more and more of what he's asking you. There's a poker game that came out in my lifetime. I don't think they were playing it for so long, but it's become probably the most popular poker game around now, called Texas Hold'em. It's given us a new phrase to consider, not only in poker, but also in life. This phrase is actually quite biblical, translated not from a single text, mind you, so much as the whole import of the New Testament. The player is us, of course, and when looking at our hand, in this case on the table if it's Texas Hold'em, there's a risk assessment that goes on before we place our bet. It's a risk assessment on the poker table of how many chips you got left in front of you, of how much you want to invest in that particular hand as you ponder the odds of what you're holding against what someone else is holding. Are you comprehending where I'm at? But we do the same thing in our lives as we consider the assets of our lives. Now, when the bet looks really good, and we're just so convinced that we cannot be beat in Texas Hold'em, the phrase is, we go all in. It's dramatic. If you like to watch this on TV, the guy just, whether he's got a whole big stack of chips or just a few, he shoves them into the middle of the pile. He goes all in. And he is declaring to everyone at that table, everyone in that tournament, everyone who's watching, I am investing in this hand with everything I've got. Right? We do the same thing. Or not. The way we live our lives with Christ. When you go all in, you risk everything. When you go all in, you're holding nothing back. When you go all in, you're making a full commitment. And this, you see, is the challenge for us as we read together this year. As Oswald Chambers is quite clear about things, you're going to find as you read each day through the year, he's pretty clear about things like surrender and obedience, and especially about Jesus Christ. The key is what God says. The scriptures are the voice of God calling us, imploring us to go all in with the Lord. That's what evangelism is, isn't it? Telling others the good things that God has done for us. People say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Well, the Bible says you're to do the work of an evangelist. We're encouraged to share our testimonies, as Pat did this morning. People say, oh, I'm not good at public speaking. We're not asking you to go down on a soapbox in the Pioneer Square, but to share our faith with those that live around us, to share our faith with those we work with, to share our faith with family and friends, to talk about how Jesus Christ has made a difference. Now, I'm somewhat aware of what holds us back. And it's really not so much a lack of the knowledge of Scripture as much as it is an inward concern of our own righteousness and holiness, an inward concern that we're not worthy. Oh yes, God has done a great work in me. Oh yes, my sins are forgiven. Oh yes, I'm going to heaven eventually. But right now I've got problems in my life and people can see them. And so I would feel terrible talking about Jesus. That holds people back from sharing what he's done. None of us are perfect. We've all come short of the glory of God. Yes. Amen? Amen? Where you're strong, somebody else is weak. And where you're weak, someone else is strong. We all know this, don't we? Yes. And how many of you really think you're getting away with anything? Huh? You really think you're getting away with anything? People pretty much know. If you're going through a hard time, folks know about it. But if Jesus Christ is your life and your Savior, are you ready to go all in? Or are you going to sit back at the table and only place the minimum bet every hand? What a boring way to play poker. So here we go. 2020 is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Amen? Yeah. You are here. The Bible is here. Here are the scriptures for this past week. Avery, would you put this up, please? This week there are only five of them because we started reading on January 1st. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. He went out not knowing where he was going. Clouds and darkness surround him. That'll make you ponder. Next one. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Go back to the first one. These were the 5 days of reading, the first 5 days of January. If you were able to read those this week, was there any of those that caused you to pay attention and perk up? Irene, we've already heard from you on January 2. Anybody else this week? Any kind of testimony at all that God spoke to you in any of these readings?
I liked. Follow me.
There were at least two times that Jesus said to Peter, follow me. I want you to think about this for a minute. Has Christ asked you to follow him? Has the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you in such a way during your life where you just hear the word of God saying, come on, follow me? Anybody? So the first time, what was the first time Jesus said, follow me, to Peter?
When they first met.
When he approached them by the water. Did they know who he was? Did they know any history? What was his appearance so wonderful and glorious? There was probably nothing remarkable about the appearance of Christ, at least in their culture. He was dressed, I'm sure, very modestly. And he walks up to Peter and he simply says, follow me. And what's the Bible say happened next? Peter somehow immediately followed Jesus. True? Oh, and we think, boy, that is so good. That's the way I want to be. And Peter spent the next 3 years fighting his decision. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Questioning and worrying about things and doubting and being in, oh my gosh, up until the three big denials. Jesus' time with Peter kind of ends with the next follow me. He says to Peter again, come on, Peter, go all in. Follow me. I love emotional times. I love emotional responses. I love altar calls where people weep and they flow to the front and give their hearts to Christ. I love all these immediate decisions we make. But Mr. Chambers teaches us that oftentimes those immediate decisions get backtracked because Monday comes, or Tuesday comes, or the car wreck comes, or something happens in life. And we stop following until we hear the word again, until we get in the word again and we hear Christ say to us again, hey, Mike, follow me. And immediately it washes all over us. Am I going to go all in or not? Ah, this one scripture there, Steve, thank you for taking the thunder here. Anyone else have a favorite text this week? Okay, Avery, I'd love to hear this.
So I got unfortunately distracted and only made it through the first two. But when I read the second one, I really enjoyed it. He went out not knowing where he was going. And so as of right now, I'm not sure where God wants me. I'm still trying to figure that out. But he still wants me, no matter where I go. And so having no fear and going forward, not knowing where I'm going, but still knowing that I'm going with him behind me, and I don't need to have worry.
Hallelujah. Thank you. I hope all your peers, give or take years, I hope everyone heard that. He went all in, didn't he? Not knowing what was about to happen. Wow, that is so good. I know there's a lot of pressure on our young folks today to try and know by about age 4 what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. I have several grandkids in college. I've got one granddaughter who's graduating this coming year, and she's trying to figure out what colleges to go to. And then I read in Forbes magazine this week that one of the major entrepreneurs in the country, Jamie Dimon, if you know that name, he came out and he said, what you need are skills, not degrees.
Yes.
I'm not anti-college. I think college is a great place to go and grow up. But you need skills. And so young people are under a great deal of pressure today to try and figure out what they're going to be. Have a little grace in your lives. You don't know where you're going to go, but go with Jesus. Yeah. Ask him to light the path for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Get some skills. Anyone else? Another scripture of any kind? Yes. Here's a mic.
Not one particular scripture, but how I feel that the Lord's speaking to us this year, or to me and to Anne together, and we've talked some about this. We've been through about 3 or 4 years of what I would call transition, and I believe that's about complete now, and we're comfortable. Well, I don't think that's exactly what the Lord had in mind when he transitioned us from where we were to where we are. So I sense him wanting us to wipe the slate clean and start over again. And I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I know he's working. I'm seeing indications of it already. And I'm excited about what he's going to do with us and through us in this coming year. And I think it's going to be a big surprise to me and to Anne and to everybody around us. So I'm not young like Avery. I'm old as dirt, but you never get over this business of asking the Lord, what am I going to do next? What's going to happen next? I'm ready for ministry. I sense that he's got a whole new life of that ahead of us. So that's my testimony for today.
A life ahead of us, a life of ministry.
Yes.
In other words, you're not just going to get old and get comfortable. You're not just going to retire and then watch TV all day.
I don't think God wants me to do that.
Okay. It's interesting what our culture is doing to us, though, huh? You know, the golden years. What are the golden years? Not many of us have a lot of gold anymore. Yes, Dave.
On the third day, it talks about only the Holy Spirit can reveal. And the scripture was John 6:63, where Jesus says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life, and human effort accomplishes nothing. And that really, you know, I really was thinking, you can have all the book knowledge, you can go to the seminary and know all the theology, and you can know the Bible verbatim back and forth, but if you're not fully yielded to the Holy Spirit, you're not living the way God wants you. So if you have just a child's understanding of love your neighbor, it's a simple, and you're yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, that's more important than all the book knowledge. And that really struck me, how simple, because that's a daily choice for each one of us to decide, what am I going to do? How am I going to treat this abrasive person? And I have to be following the Holy Spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit, in order to grow and actually follow Jesus.
Amen. Go all in. Go all in. And what does that even mean? How do we put that little poker analogy, go all in, how do we put that into lives that we live today? You got families to raise. You got jobs to go to. I mean, there's a practical life to live, yes? Yeah. We're not just in church all week long. We have regular life. How do we go all in with Jesus Christ? Or do we just have our spiritual life on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whatever? How do we go all in? Anybody? Yes, sir.
The January 1st reading, I really liked how he summed up Oswald at the very end of it, the Great Divide quote that he threw in there. For me, it hit me really hard, the all-in part. It's which side of that Great Divide do you want to be on? There's one side where there's Christ, and the other side is you and your selfish desires. And so for me, what it convicted me of is my all-in is you want to be at that point where he brings us, he talked about, he'll bring you to that point where you have to decide to be the utmost for his highest. And so which side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side with Christ? Because he'll bring that point where you decide, do you want to start going and journeying with him and leaving behind your wants and desires and give all in for him? And that means all your wants, all your whatever motives, shiny things the world offers you, you have to either walk away from that like Peter did and go all in for Christ, or you can choose that side and you're going to grow ever farther away from him. And so for me, it was that daily, like you said, dying to yourself and choosing, all right, what would God have me do today? What can I give of myself? How can I serve? How can I love? Mm-hmm. How can I do something that's not for me today and it's living for him? And that was the
Amen. You've probably figured out by now that this is a very dangerous Sunday. It's very dangerous to consider going all in. It can seem much safer to hold stuff back. Oh, I'll just not play the game. I won't risk much. The thing is, if you don't risk much, you don't get much. True? We are living in the most prosperous time. We have abundance upon abundance. Stock market's all-time high. And it seems like the wealthier this nation gets, the more fearful we get. Instead of shouting to the whole world, this is the way to live. Jesus is the answer. I think our Congress could do really well to not only proclaim to the whole world capitalism is a great system, but that Jesus Christ is Lord. Dave, you had more?
Would you agree with me that Jesus has defeated sin and death? It is dead. It's a done deal. Would you all agree? So it seems like it's not a sucker bet. It's a sure bet. That if we put it go all in and we surrender everything we have, our health, our relationships, our money, our time, if we surrender all that, it's a sure bet that he's going to bless us.
What Oswald's trying to present to you and to me this morning is not just his highest. How many like the fact that he's the King of Kings? How many agree that he knows everything? He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I mean, we know the values, natures, characteristics of God. He's beyond description. Amen? So we're not questioning God. Here's what we're questioning. And if he says that you can come up and live with me, and have and enjoy everything I've got. Dave, that's a sure bet. Amen? My utmost for his highest. What we're trying to get away with, church, is my least for his highest. That's really what it is. We're really trying to live like... I'm not trying to be condemning, I'm trying to be revealing. When God called those disciples, the first ones at any rate, apparently just responded immediately. But then the thoughts began, didn't they? Questions like, where are you going? He says, wherever the Father tells us to go. Well, there's a satisfactory answer. Well, Master, what are we going to eat? I'm getting hungry. Well, Father will provide. Where? We're in the desert. This is how we're living our lives. We're trying to follow him with all these yes buts. My utmost for his highest, going all in. It's kind of scary, isn't it? He might call you to go to Morocco for crying out loud and become a missionary to a bunch of Muslim people who don't even know the message. You might get persecuted. Bring it on. January 2nd came to me a little differently, Irene. The only thing you know is that God knows what he's doing. the scripture was, he went out not knowing where he was going. But God knows, Avery, God knows what you're going to become. God knows what opportunities are going to be presented to you. You young folks, they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. God knows. He's going to put before you a banquet table of opportunity. And it may even be so good as for him to say, take your pick of these things. I'm not suggesting you have to do one thing and one thing only, but God knows. And I mean, I've lived a life of dirt also here. And the one thing I can promise you is that it's probably not going to go according to your plan. This is a very dangerous time, January the 5th, 2020. Because pastor is asking you to go all in. God is asking me to go all in. And there's all kinds of conflicts about what that might mean. My best for his glory. The only thing you know is that God knows what he's doing. Natural devotion may be enough to attract us to Jesus, to make us feel irresistible charm, but it'll never make us his disciples. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you at this time? Why can't I follow you? And the obvious answer is because, Peter, you're not ready. Things aren't ready yet for you to follow me, but the day will come, and then you can follow me. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this year. Your assignment for this coming week in the book, and if you didn't get a book, please pick one up, is to every day, Monday through Sunday, read the scripture. Use it as a devotional. Use it as a couple's thing. Use it as a family devotion. But let God speak to you this week. Amen? Lord, we ponder in our hearts, even as Mary pondered in her heart, what does it mean to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit? She was pondering an actual baby in her womb that made no sense. We are pondering your words of life to us, which often make no sense. So, continue to grow. Bring us, O God, into full term. And help us to understand your will for us this coming year. We do ask in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Happy New Year. I think we have refreshments to enjoy. And if you see new faces around, make sure you introduce yourself. You are dismissed.